If you were driving in your car, for instance, okay? Close your eyes. You're in your car. No, close your eyes in the car. But right now, think about it. You're in your car. You're driving. And then all of a sudden, from the back seat, I just pop up and go, hey! You just whack me in the head, wouldn't you? That wouldn't be nice.
Hold on to your seats, folks, because we're going to crank it up.
We are now conducting our final systems check.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your spectral magical host, Jiminy Cricket. Everybody in the Magic Kingdom wants to welcome you to
WDW Radio, your information station.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the WDW Radio Show, your guide to the Disney parks and experiences. I am your host, Lou Mangiello, and this is show number 808. And together since 2004, we've been sharing Disney magic here through the podcast, my live video show every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, blog, live events, newsletter, and more. You can join the community and find everything over at wdwradio.com. And I also want to welcome you to another round of In or Out, where we dive headfirst into the big, bold, fun, and sometimes controversial topics shaping the Disney universe. Get ready as we explore what's next, what's nostalgic, and what's sparking fun discussions and debates among Disney fans, including you. Then stay tuned for a Disney trivia question of the week for your chance to win a Disney prize package. And don't forget to sign up for my free weekly email newsletter to stay connected and not miss a thing. And also, when you do, you get a free copy of my 102 Things to Do at Least Once in Walt Disney World book. Please connect and chat with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And please go and visit loumangiello.com whether you're looking for a speaker for your event, conference, or business and want to apply lessons from the Disney parks to your organization. Or if you're a creator or solopreneur and you want to turn your passion into your profession, I have a number of different ways that I can help you and work with you to transform what you love into what you do. And of course, if you like what you hear, and I hope that you do, please share the show and tell a friend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of the WDW Radio Show. Welcome back to our next installment of In or Out, a new segment idea that I had a few weeks ago that I was admittedly very nervous to try. But you responded a lot and fortunately really seemed to enjoy it. So we're back this week with new Are You In or Are You Out questions and prompts, as well as two new participants and WDW Radio Nation members who may or may not know what they have gotten themselves into. So I'd like to welcome back to the show Amanda Bonner from MeAndTheMagic.com.
Thanks for having me. I've always wanted to be on a game show, so this feels very game showish in a really fun way.
I need like the 70s background music and like, you know, lights going around. I will manually insert 70s game show sound effects just for you. And for the first time, I want to welcome Sean Roberson from his new YouTube channel and podcast, but mostly Disney.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Lou. I'm very exciting. I'm not just a member. You know, I'm a fan. So this is I'm kind of girlfriending out a little bit here.
You're not a fan. You're a friend. You know that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I love the name. I mean, for both of you, but I love the name of your new show. It's because I'm assuming it's a salute to all podcasts, but mostly Disney.
That's right. And I literally bought the .com while I was sitting in Momentum, like from the table. It came to me. So
you beat me by that much. the two of you, did you listen to the first segment, the first In or Out segment that I demoed, that I tried, that I threw up a Hail Mary just to see how it would go a few weeks ago? No pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Awesome. So, again, you know how the game is played. I am going to randomly select a few different questions, and each of you will get, 30 or 60 seconds or so to answer and state whether you agree or whether you're in or whether you're out, whether you agree or disagree, and then argue, defend, or disagree about why you feel that way. And we're going to go from the parks and resorts to cruise line, Marvel movies, Disney Plus, and have some fun exploring some topics that you are woefully unprepared for because I don't tell you any of these in advance. And of course, I want you who is listening at home or in the car to be a part of the conversation. So I want to hear from you as well. I'll post these over in the clubhouse. I still believe that chivalry is not dead and that ladies are first. So rather than me randomly pick a number, Amanda, you pick a number between one and I literally wrote about 300 ideas, but give me a number between one and 150.
Oh my goodness. All right. I know how Becky feels now on those listener question shows. I'm going to go with 27.
27. Let me scroll down this is timing is everything.
Oh,
timing is everything. The two of you, ladies first, tell me, are you in or are you out? Walt Disney World should bring back the free paper fast pass system. Are you in or are you out?
Sweating a little bit here, Lou.
It's only question one.
I am out.
There's an audible gasp from the crowd. I mean, there's no crowd here, but an audible gasp from the metaphorical crowd.
I'm not saying what exists now is perfect by any means. I think going backwards that far is almost at this point antiquated, even though I have fond memories of it. But I think that it wouldn't be doing Disney any favors, especially in competing with other entities who have a lot of strong technology that they are already implementing and what's coming up. And I think that it's always a little bit of playing around and seeing what works. And they're still playing around with it and seeing what works. I really loved the MaxPass at Disneyland. I thought that was very simple. I'm all for being simpler. That, to me, was a winning one where you just got one at a time. You got in line. You got to get your next one. Boom, boom, boom. It was easy. I'm all for easy and not costing an arm and a leg. But I don't think going back that far is the way to go.
Interesting. Interesting. Sean, are you in or are you out?
Wow, that was such an intimidating answer. I didn't know we were going to be like, are you sure she doesn't have the questions? I feel like I'm getting punked here. I'm going to say out with an asterisk because we were just discussing this. And though maybe not the paper, I do like the idea that you would have that kind of rule of thirds where, you know, you've got the Premier Lightning Lane over here and Lightning Lane at $30 a day. And then if everyone who stayed on property got one fast pass at a time. So maybe not paper, but still, I like the idea of giving somebody something for free. And then they could have that one fast pass as the bottom tier so that at least if you're staying on property, you get a little pixie dust there.
Yeah, I'm in and out on this, and I'm allowed to because it's my question. So, because I can, this is the recovering attorney in me because I can argue it both ways. I think there was something wonderfully simple about the paper fast pass system. Yes, it was also free. There was something about that quest, right? Almost sort of giving all the tickets to one person, having them run here and run there, and having that sense of ownership and that almost the collectability of the paper fast passes. I do think the current system can be overwhelming and intimidating to, especially for the first time guests. I say this all the time because, I was in Epcot a while back and it was like 11 o'clock and I saw people at the ticket window buying tickets. And I wanted to be like, no, it's too late. You're way too late already. You needed to start, preparing months in advance. So I think there is probably, like you said, Amanda, I think there is a simpler system maybe that would not put you at a disadvantage if you did not prepare ahead of time. But I do also miss the free paper fast passes as well. So, all right. Good start. Sean, go ahead, pick a number.
I'll take a lucky 13.
Lucky 13. Oh, I forgot to do the sound effects. Wait. Bloop, 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 bloop. boop. Okay, lucky 13. Also, look at you. Also a timely one. Epcot's International Food and Wine Festival, currently going on, is the best seasonal event across all the parks. Are you in or are you out?
Does that include the Tip Top Club event? Because that was really...
It does not, but I very much appreciate the shameless or shameful plug.
Right. I'll just keep glazing the whole show. I'm in. I love it. I do love Festival of the Holidays. I mean, always a caveat answer, right, to cover my bases. I really like that one just for because I love Christmas. But Food and Wine, I'm very excited because we'll be there next weekend and it's still going on. So my daughter, who hasn't been this year, will get to participate. And I like it. I like the music. We went and saw Sugar Ray. I like the food. I like everything about it. So I think it's a little more exciting than Flower and Garden, even though that was kind of... holds a nostalgic place in my heart because that was the first one we saw because we used to always go spring break when the kids were little. But out of the three, I think I enjoy Food and Wine the most.
Nice. Amanda?
I am out. I love all the festivals, and I know this doesn't necessarily have to be Epcot. You said any seasonal, mm-hmm. right? What comes to mind, of course, are the Epcot festivals and Food and Wine is probably actually my third or fourth of the Epcot festivals. I love Flower and Garden very, very, very much. And maybe this is because I'm getting a little older, but I just am able to appreciate it. And I have no green thumb, so I don't know how they do what they do. But it just, I love that spring feel. I love the time of year that it is as far as the weather here. I feel like Food and Wine a little bit later this year was better, but it usually starts so early when it's still very hot and they're serving me cheddar cheese soup, you know, when it's like 95 out. So I just really love that Flower and Garden feel and everything that they offer with it. And that's my answer.
My answer may come as a shocking surprise to you, but I am out on this. I think Food and Wine Festival is almost wonderfully old. Look, my stretchy pants could only stretch so far. And I think Food and Wine is so big and so broad and there's so much to it. I think that there is something almost a little bit more quaint to your point, Amanda, about Flower and Garden. I think it is when Epcot is at its most beautiful. And I think I appreciate more the fewer number of outdoor kitchens and marketplaces that there are. I also love the other arts that are on display. It's not just the culinary arts, but the performing arts and the fine arts as well. I think that festival has a little something for everyone, including those of us who appreciate the slightly cooler weather because it's November and it's still 89 degrees outside in Epcot. That being said too, I as I was giving my answer, I'm like, you know, I really do like Festival of the Holidays as well too. Epcot is beautiful during the holidays. I love the holiday menus and the holiday music. And then I start getting all weepy about Candlelight Processional, but I will stick with my semi-committed answer of I'm still out, but leaning more towards Flower and Garden instead. So... all right, Amanda, it is yours. Just pick a random number. Go ahead.
75.
75, going down the list. Let's see. Hold on. Okay. Disney's Hollywood Studios has become a better overall park than Disney's Animal Kingdom. Are you in or are you out?
Oh. This is really hard on the spot here. Has become
a better, and this is, you define better however you see fit, but has become a better overall park than Disney's Animal Kingdom.
And just remember, last time everybody disagreed with me afterwards and I felt really alone, so no pressure.
I'm going to say actually that I am out. And I say that with the Tower of Terror being possibly my favorite attraction at Walt Disney World. I love the addition of Toy Story Land. I love the addition of the sit-down restaurant there. We needed more table service restaurants. I think more could have been done and more was supposed to be done there, right? And I am admittedly not a big Star Wars fan. I'm sorry. Not. So I appreciate it for what it is. I think there's still a lack there of some quality dining compared to Animal Kingdom. And Animal Kingdom, to me, is just so much more immersive. Star Wars Land is very immersive, but to me, Animal Kingdom, when you're in Africa, you feel like you're in Africa and Asia and Pandora, I mean, all of it. And it just never ceases to take my breath away. And the repeat factor and walking the animal trails, doing the safari, one of my other favorites, Expedition Everest, it's underappreciated in some ways. And I love that park.
Nice. Sean?
I'm in 100% agreement. I'm out as well. And I am a huge Star Wars nerd. I mean, you can see I have a Stormtrooper helmet right here. And that's actually mine.
Lightsabers literally like hanging on his wall. So,
and those are just the ones on the wall. But I just did, and not a shameless plug, but I just did a video recently where my wife and I did the other half of Animal Kingdom, where, you know, everyone runs in and hits Pandora and does Everest and does the safari, which is awesome. But we intentionally avoided all of that and did everything else. And it's one of the best days I've ever had it at a Disney park. We did all the trails. We ate. We watched the Nemo show, which we hadn't seen in years, and they'd updated. I mean, I've never been to Nepal, but I assume that that's what Nepal looks like. And it's just beautiful and it's relaxing. And even throwing in the couple of rides, you know, you still can make that park and kind of leave relaxed instead of sweating because you didn't get on Peter Pan or whatever. So no, I'm absolutely out. I think Animal Kingdom is amazing.
I'm saying this jokingly. I'm totally in because one, Animal Kingdom is so far away, and two, and you know, this is Animal Kingdom, especially like in the summertime, it's like 25 degrees hotter than any other park. However, in all seriousness, Satouli Canteen, which is arguably the best quick service location, also just added breakfast. So if you wanted to sort of make the best even better, you do things like add breakfast. For all the joking that I do, I think, and obviously Disney's Animal Kingdom right now is about to go into a transitional phase as we have the rest in peace Dino Land area. I think it is, especially as a local, assuming that it's not in the middle of August, it is the most beautiful park to just wander to. I think it has some of the best Nomad Lounge. I'm looking directly square into your big blue beautiful eyes. Has some of the best dining in any theme park anywhere. I think Nomad Lounge and Tiffin's and yes, Satouli Canteen and some of the other locations is some of the best in park dining you'll find. Even some of the quick service and food stalls are some of the best dining. So as much as I love Disney's Hollywood Studios for the theming and the land, and I think during Christmas time it is spectacular. I will also be out and say that, assuming I could take a quick Skyliner from my house to Disney's Animal Kingdom, that's the only thing I would need to sort of make it the perfect park. And I'm excited for what is to come in the future. So, Sean, you are next. Pick a number.
How about 143? 143.
Way down the list.
Way down.
Going way, way down the list. Okay. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts. And we were just talking about some Star Wars and things like that. Let's move over to Disney Cruise Line. Disney Cruise Line should introduce fully immersive story cruises where guests are part of an unfolding storyline that spans the entire voyage. Think Star Cruiser, but at sea. Are you in or are you out? So think a fully immersive themed experience from the time you board until the time you disembark, a la Star Cruiser, which is a whole separate conversation for a whole other day. But it really is an immersive, you know, singularly themed voyage at sea. It is a story experience at sea.
So I've only been on one cruise. I went on the inaugural Wish cruise with with WDW Radio. I'm going to say out. And I'll give the caveat that I think that's really very personal and not something that is, you know, really kind of in a gestalt way covers everybody. It's just for me, because what I found was, even with all the activities that were planned on that cruise and all the things I could have joined and done, I was very relaxed on my cruise and very much could participate when I wanted to and didn't feel like I had to be anywhere. If I didn't want to go to the lunch, then I could stay home. If I didn't even want to go to dinner, I could just relax or sleep in or whatever. And that to me is what a cruise would be. I liked the idea of the Star Cruiser Hotel. And even with cost prohibitive, I probably would have gone, but I realized that I didn't want to role play for 2 days. So would I want to go on a 4-night cruise and be somebody else? I don't think that's me, but it's very specific. So I'm not knocking anybody else that would want to do it, but I'm going to say no, I'm out.
I'm still hung up on the fact that you could sleep in through dinner. And there was a lot to unpack there, but that's fine.
Now, this does not necessarily have to be a Star Wars experience.
It does not.
No.
Okay. So I am fully in with a few caveats. I think that it could be Star Wars. It could be Marvel. There are so many possibilities. It could be something like Marvel Day at Sea that is offered for select sailings. I guarantee there will be people that will do it. It is amazing what all cruise lines offer. There is a Broadway cruise. There is a Hallmark Channel Christmas movie cruise. I kid you not, it sold out in one day. I mean, there are so many different types of sailings. So why not offer this? Because I think a cruise ship is a perfect place to do it, where it is also self-contained. And you can choose to partake or not. You know, nothing says that you absolutely have to, but just think about, you were just on the Halloween cruise, and mm-hmm. I've been on a couple of Very Merry Time and the Marvel Day at Sea cruise. How invested people get in that. And I loved the Marvel Day at Sea cruise, but it was one day, and there was so much goodness in that one day. I could have easily have had it spread throughout the whole cruise.
And I think that's it, because I'm in on this idea, because, again, just coming off the Halloween cruise and having done Star Wars and Marvel, some guests are disappointed. It's very clearly, it's a Marvel Day at Sea, and we just wanted more, right? We wanted it to be Marvel or Star Wars the entire time of the voyage. And that's what sort of prompted me to think of the question in this way. Well, what if it was themed the entire time, and it maybe could be this immersive, story-driven experience where there is it's as participatory as you want it to be, right? Much like the Star Cruiser, you didn't have to dress up. You could go all in on story and character and costume. You could do the same thing here. And there is much, like a cruise itself, there is as much or as little as you might want to do. But I think if you told people that there was an immersive Marvel cruise, I think much like the Hallmark holiday special cruise, I think this would sell out in a heartbeat, especially for those who are repeat cruisers who are looking for something a little bit different in terms of, it doesn't matter where the ship goes, but it matters the activities that are happening on board.
That's interesting. I mean, I was a little nervous dressing up for the Tip Top in my 30s regalia. I don't own any hats like that. And my kid bought it for me. But by the end of the night, I was pretty comfortable wearing a fedora, which I've always made fun of. So maybe I could lean into it.
And I think it's allowing yourself to, much like you did at Tip Top, just sort of allowing yourself to have fun with it and go as far all in as you want to be. Especially when you do it in a group like that, too. It adds to the fun. So. Yeah. All right, Amanda, you can pick your next random, or let the randomizer just pick it for you.
Oh, well, I had the number 99 in my head for some reason.
All right, I'm going to give you the 70. Bloop, 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 bloop. It sounds like, what's that show? Press Your Luck. Like,
oh, yeah. No whammies. Okay.
Let's go to the silver and small screen.
Okay.
This one, I'm almost hesitant to ask.
Oh, dear.
Because a little bit of controversy. I mean, it's podcast gold. Let's head on over to Marvel. Amanda and Sean, are you in or out the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, will never return to its former glory. Are you in or are you out?
Well, I am out. Okay. First of all, we just had Agatha All Along, which is my favorite Marvel show by far. No one expected it to be what it was, and it was genius. That gave me a lot of hope for what's to come. And I love all the Avengers movies, you know, so much of that. But there's a lot to come still. There's a lot to look forward to. And I have a lot of hope with who they had on this particular creative team and who's coming up, both in the actors. And it wasn't just the acting for this show. It was the costuming. It was the directing, the writing, the lighting, the set design. I mean, it was gorgeous. They found the winning formula for this show. They can do it many, many more times. I have complete faith that we're going on up.
Interesting. Sean?
I'm hopefully in, I think. You know, it's big shoes to fill. I mean, you know, from Iron Man to Endgame, I mean, I still go to sleep watching those movies, and it's been, what, 20 years? Is that long? 15? Something like that? And I'm still rewatching these films. So I, like you, I think Agatha All Along, it definitely turns the ship back in the right direction, and I'm hopefully too. But I, you know, I'm a positive glass half full, empty, just glad there's something in the glass kind of person. But I do think it's there, and I think Feige can do it. I think the stories are still there. I think there's a lot of material to work with, and maybe having a little dark period kind of just is the ramp up for us to get back to where it was. So yeah, I'm in.
Well, you're out.
I'm out that they'll come back in. Right, yeah. The double negative question or something. You know, I'm not happy that they're going to do well.
So when I wrote this, I thought back to Avengers Endgame and that time period when we couldn't even fathom this coming out of our mouths. Like, what do you mean? Like, Marvel's on top of the world, and yet here we are years later, going through this, I'm over-exaggerating, but this almost this gauntlet of just okay or not so great movies. Look, I know every movie is somebody's favorite, but I did not love some of the more recent releases, both on the big screen and the small screen. However, I agree with both of you. In Feige we trust. I need a t-shirt that says that.
I think
they very, very brilliantly decided to pause and step back and look at what they had and realize that more doesn't necessarily mean better. It's quality over quantity. And to be able to say, we're going to scrap this and this and this. I mean, they're still doing it. I mean, they're still scrapping things. Look at Blade. Like, they just took it off the list. It obviously was not rising to the level of what it needs to be and what it used to be. And so I applaud them for that. Can they return to that level of just that fever pitch around Endgame, where we were going to the movies, to the theater, not to see a Marvel movie once, but in many cases twice? Like, I think my son saw it in the theater 7 or 9 times, which he owes me a lot of money, but it's behind the side. But there was this just fever pitch, and I think Amanda, you're right. I think some of the recent Disney Plus releases, specifically Agatha All Along, the thing that I am looking forward to most is Daredevil coming in the spring. And I think Agatha is a great indicator of rising to that level of not just production, but storytelling and acting and music and all of those pieces fitting in. And I think that the telltale sign of that is the quote unquote water cooler conversations that were taking place in between episodes that I don't think that we've seen, especially for Disney Plus, since WandaVision. I think right. WandaVision was groundbreaking TV. I don't think we've seen that since then. And I think Agatha brought a lot of people back into the fold, and I think introduced a lot of people to Marvel in a way that was fun and understandable, etc., and hopefully has them hooked and looking forward to seeing what's next.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, I believe you are next. So
I'll take a randomizer. I'll roll the dice.
You just like me. You like making that stupid sound. Bloop, bloop, bloop,
bloop, bloop, bloop, I do. It's a fun. Bloop, 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 and I doubt anyone knows what a whammy is. That's what. Maybe this crowd. Maybe, but
big bucks, no whammies.
My kids would not know what a whammy was.
I'm aging myself.
All right. Let me see. Okay. Let's go back to the parks, and we will take you over to Epcot Center. And I'm calling it Epcot Center specifically, because are you in or are you out? You might not even be able to answer this question. Horizons was the greatest attraction Epcot ever had.
Well, I will say in, because I never saw it. I never went to Horizons. I think the first time we went, I went as a kid in the 70s to Walt Disney World. And then when we went back, it was 2006. So it was long gone. But I've read about it and seen about it. And I don't want to offend any Horizons people. So I will say, yes, it was the greatest ride ever. It's what I dream about at night. I have T-shirts and an entire, if you look in the other room, there's a whole wall of Horizons art. So yes, I'm in.
I'd like you to know that there is an army of original Journey into Imagination fans outside my house, right, with pitchforks and torches. Just, they're asking for your phone number and home address. I'll give it to them, and whatever happens, happens.
Because it was a photo finish between Figment and those guys, just, you know, for the sake of the show.
Amanda, Horizons was the greatest attraction Epcot ever had. Are you in or are you out?
I vaguely remember Horizons, actually.
Oh, I feel so much better.
No, that's because Epcot was drinking. Amanda was drinking around the world. That's why she doesn't remember Horizons. So very different reasons.
I'm out, but I'm having a hard time saying what would be, because I keep thinking of examples and I'm like, is it perfect? But I think the answer to that is no attraction is absolutely perfect. So I could say Journey into Imagination. I could say Soarin', which I know originated over on the West Coast. I love the seas. You know, Spaceship Earth. That's one of my fondest memories, is riding Spaceship Earth with my family. There are so many different options. So I don't really like the idea of saying there's one attraction that is the greatest ever. And that's probably a very safe answer.
I think there's a lot of folks who are probably screaming and saying, young lady, have you looked at this little thing that we have called Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind? Who would argue that that is the greatest attraction that Epcot has ever seen.
It's wonderful, but I was thinking more longevity history, I guess. That's my escape there.
Well, I mean, not to go back in, but that's the thing, is Guardians is the best ride, in my opinion, in Disney World, but it's not my favorite. You know, and even in Epcot, Spaceship Earth, if I have the choice, I'll ride Spaceship Earth and skip Guardians if I had to. Mm. Whoa.
All right, I am going to... Oh, so wait, I will say that I'm out, and I have a fond recollection of Horizons. I loved it for a variety of reasons. I loved when Epcot, especially as a kid... who was always like a tech nerd. I loved the optimistic futurism of Epcot. And I loved the idea of literally and sort of metaphorically choosing your own adventure at the end of the attraction and being able to choose whatever sort of future that we wanted to go to. I loved the rewritability factor. I loved the music. I loved the fact that there was not always a huge line, which is part of the reason why Epcot Horizons isn't there. Not to mention the fact there was a sinkhole. It doesn't matter. But I think there is, and there always will be, something very, very special about that first iteration of Journey into Imagination that I'm not sure, I'm thinking out loud as I say this, I'm not sure any other attraction has captured the true magic of what that represented. It was all new. It wasn't based on IP. There was nothing else that we had ever seen like it. It had memorable characters, lovable little Figment who has sort of made this glorious return. wonderful Sherman Brothers music. It was a long attraction. What we have now is like 40% of the length of the original attraction. So it was a much longer experience. The post-show area was such a brilliant extension and a hands-on playground after the attraction. It was one of the things that I was able to do, and forgive me, Mom and Dad, you know, probably dragged my, I don't know, I wouldn't even say dragged, because my dad, I think, felt the same way about it too. And I still remember when we went and saw that abomination that was the second iteration, my dad and I got off the attraction and we looked at each other and we're like, did we, what, was Figment not on that? Like, I thought my dad was going to go to guest relations and be like, what did you do? But I think there was something very special about that first one. So, all right, I am going to not so randomly pick a question for you, because I had an idea. An idea for another segment that I wanted to do on the show. And I was going to call it simply, like in or out, best or worst, where I would give a prompt like counter service restaurant, and you would have to give me what you think is the best and the worst in Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, whatever it might be. But I also know, and I recognize, and I respect the fact that everything in the park is somebody's favorite. There is somebody who's still lamenting the loss of Stitch's Supersonic Celebration. And I never want to potentially ruin it or rain on somebody else's happiness. Plus, I just don't like negative words in general, like worst. However, are you in or are you out? Pizza Rizzo is the worst quick service restaurant in all of Walt Disney World.
Oh no, I'm first, aren't I?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, Amanda, how do you feel about that? Tell us.
Sean is asking Jeeves, worst restaurant in Walt Disney World. And ew. You can define this, and I leave it vague on purpose. I'm giving you time to think. Like, the restaurant, is it the food? Is it the ambiance? And what sort of qualifies as worst? And you can take this ball and run with it however you like. I wouldn't want to go first, but go ahead.
I'm wearing an animal t-shirt, for crying out loud. I mean, the Muppets are near and dear to my heart. I want to say that I am out, number one, just because I want to preserve the Muppets in the parks in any way possible and give no hint that they can take any Muppets away. But I know that that is very likely to happen. I think it, number one, is a great indoor space that is needed. It is huge. We need these indoor quick service restaurants that are in the AC. I can think of others in Disney Hollywood Studios that are not in the AC and can get quite toasty. I love Woody's Lunchbox.
I was like, she's thinking of Woody's Lunchbox, isn't she?
Oh my goodness. There are, you know, a couple in Fantasyland that I have been to that are older and I would consider worse as far as food quality. Just a top of mind. I'm not going to.
So you're saying you don't love the pizza at Pinocchio's Village House?
Well, I'm just saying that I've had worse food.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I'm out. It is, and I love the Muppets too. And it is a beautiful building inside. It's really neat. Everyone should walk through, not order pizza, and check it out. And look, if your kids need a pizza, it's fine, right? It's not bad. It's not like you're going to get sick. It's not like you're going to walk out of there and hate it. It's just that you could walk a few more steps and have something, you know, a lot better. But the building itself is pretty cool. But the pizza's not the best pizza. If it's your favorite pizza, I totally understand that, because I've already got the Figment people after me. But we haven't been there since the kids were probably four. So
I very deliberately chose this restaurant because I think there are a number of factors at play. I think it is the food itself. I think it is the design and the theming of the restaurant. And there is the Muppet factor. And the Muppet factor is very strong.
Yes.
It is very, very strong. And again, we could have a conversation about what's coming to the parks and what might be leaving the parks and what that might mean in the future. By the way, I still believe that Hall of Presidents should be rethemed and be a Muppet History of America. However, I digress.
All in on that, yes.
I have an affinity for Pizza Rizzo for the place, but not necessarily the food. However, I've been there. I've been there with friends who have kids, and I was about to say, like, yeah, I don't think the pizza... And they're like, oh my God, my kids just live for... we love this pizza. And I was like, well, there you go. You go do you. Whatever, like, makes you happy. I'm going to go over to the pizza window over at Via Napoli, and, you know, I will happily overpay for that piece of Sicilian pizza, which is delicious. Is it the worst quick service restaurant in Walt Disney World? No, I'm out. But I feel like I need to say, if I'm out, what is, right? What is the quote unquote worst quick service restaurant in Walt Disney World? I'm going to buy myself an out. I think the Boardwalk Pizza window on the Boardwalk. Years ago, I ate there. I hadn't like eaten anything all day, and I was like, pizza, Boardwalk. It's late at night. It was not great. It was not great. So,
but that's how Disney tricks you, right? They give you bad pizza, but a beautiful environment. Because I don't remember the pizza, but I remember going to the window and sitting down outside and watching a magician and a juggler out there and having a great time. So the pizza, the food itself is gone out of my memory, but I remember having a great time. That being said, we haven't been back there either, so it must have not been amazing.
I think, you know, it's interesting. I think I was just at the Boardwalk cheering for the wine and dine runners and wheelers and woggers and joggers and walkers. Congratulations to all of you who lined up. It's interesting that Boardwalk, I think, is going through a little bit of a transformational phase, right? We've got the Cake Bake Shop, which replaced ESPN, much to the chagrin of a lot of people. And then they announced their menu prices, and the torchbearers also lost their mind. They've since sort of backed off on that. And all of a sudden, I know from people who have been there, they're like, wait a minute, I take back everything I said, because this is really, really, really good. I'm taking the $26 slice of cake out of the equation, but just the menu itself, people I hear raving about.
Okay, so we went.
Is gone, which I'm not shedding any tears over. I'm encouraged about what may hopefully take its place. And even sort of the hot dog and like the 7 foot long mozzarella stick that people are lining up for hours. So it's interesting to see how the Boardwalk may be going through this transformational culinary change over time. I need to go try the Cake Bake Shop. If there only there was somebody, anybody who would go with me, I'll
be there Friday.
I'll see you there.
We went to Cake Bake, and you need to go eat there.
See,
we're raving about Cake Bake. I would, in my shortest possible review, I give the cake a 9. I don't need to do that again. But the restaurant, even as pricey it is, it's going to go in the rotation. It's so good. They fly the bread for the po' boy in from Gambino's in Louisiana every 3 days. And does that cost $3 extra? Yes. Is it worth it?
Yes, it is. As somebody who comes from the Northeast and has a really tough time finding good bread around here because of the water, Via Napoli and places like that that import the water and the semolina, I get it. And it makes a difference.
We had a good time.
All right. All right, let's do one more. Let's do one more. And let's cleanse. You know what? Let's talk about food again. Let's cleanse our palate. And let's go from the worst to the best. And Sean, I'll let you go first this time to give Amanda time to think. The Dole Whip is the single best Disney snack. Are you in or are you out?
I am enthusiastically in. I loved it. I don't know how long it's been such an infatuation for people, but it is one of my most favorite things in all of the world. And I love it, and we never not have it. And there's a restaurant near me now that carries it, and it does taste a little different just because it's not in the parks, but that is my favorite thing. In fact, when I went to Cake Bake and had the cake, I said, I still like my Dole Whip better than this cake. I love it. Wow. And that coconut one with the swirl and that cake. Oh my gosh. It's
Dude,
with
the
pog juice in it.
I haven't tried the coconut one yet. I still have yet to try the coconut. I know. What am I doing?
It's so good. I'll be right there.
Amanda Bonner, the Dole Whip is the single best Disney snack.
This is going to be a two-part answer. All right.
What law school did you go to? I love how he qualifies.
You could just sign this disclaimer before you answer. That would be great.
First, I'm going to say my favorite. And, well, Disney World, the Dole Whip is the correct answer. Yes, I'm all in. It's always my go-to. I prefer the traditional pineapple with vanilla soft serve swirl. But there are so many different varieties. I absolutely love it. I think it's just quintessential. And I love also for my goddaughters who are vegan, they can get a Dole Whip without the vanilla soft serve and enjoy that fully, where a lot of treats they cannot. So I absolutely just love experiencing that with them. Now we're going to go to Disneyland. And the answer over there is the churro. I have never in my life seen the churro in Walt Disney World like I've seen in Disneyland, both the fan frenzy and what they can do with the churro. And they taste a lot better for whatever reason at Disneyland. And it's amazing all the different varieties they have seasonally and just all the different churro carts. People got off the tram from the parking garage and got in line at the churro cart in Downtown Disney instead of hurrying to the parks. My cousin was like, oh, we're going to go to dinner, but do you mind? We just need to pop into California Adventure because I have to get this new churro. It's a big, big, big thing there.
So first things first, I have a follow-up question for you. What did you get on your SATs? The reason why I'm asking you that is because you understood the assignment. You listened to the question. The statement said the Dole Whip is the single best Disney snack. I specifically did not say Walt Disney World. So you were like, I'm going to Disneyland, which I applaud you for. I am out on this as well. I am not going to go down the road of how I am not a sweets guy, but it is in fact true. I will go savory over sweet any day of the week. And I think you're right. I think I could name off the top of my head 10 savory Disney snacks. And my definition of snack is very, very broad. A sit down meal could be a snack for me at Disneyland, right. But like, don't judge me. But I think whether it is a chimichanga, whether it is a cozy cone, whether it is one of those little baked treats from Maurice's Treats, or even some of the things here in Walt Disney World, or even late night room service chicken tenders on pick your Disney Cruise Line ship of choice, is a better snack for me. Again, don't judge me. It's how I have this oh so attractive pear like shape. But I agree. And I know that the Dole Whip fans, they run far and they run wide. And there is this, cult-like following and deservedly so of the Dole Whip. And I think that there are times that a Dole Whip just hits right, especially on those warm summer days where you need to eat your Dole Whip within 30 seconds, or it is all of a sudden it's a Dole drink. But I am also out. I think there are better snacks in Walt Disney World and certainly across the Disney parks. Don't even get me started on Tokyo Disney Sea and the snack experience that is. They just take snacking to a whole different level. And if you don't believe me, come with us to Tokyo in May. We have one room left. Anyway, I could do this all night. In Captain America ways, I can do this all day. Did you have fun? Did you enjoy this?
Yeah, this is awesome.
Yes.
Was it? I told you there was no pressure. You both did amazingly well. Your answers are completely incorrect in a lot of cases. However, I want to hear from you, our friend who is listening. If you want Sean's home address, if you want to sort of confront him directly, I'll be happy to
send it
to you. But I will also post some of these questions over in the clubhouse. Or better yet, call the voicemail at 407-900-9391. That's 407-900-WDW1. And let me know your answer to any or all of these. If you are in, if you are out, and why you are sitting around this virtual dining table with us, and I want you to be part of the conversation as well. Amanda and Sean, thank you so much for being such good sports and having so much fun with me. Again, I have I have literally hundreds more. So we will continue to do this if you who are listening enjoy these segments. And please do me a favor, again, ladies first, Amanda and Sean, tell people who you are, what you do, and where people can find you on the internet.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Lou. This was a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. I was a little worried.
Wait,
I like to prep. Wait, I like to prep, you know?
I had more fun than I thought it would be. I'm slightly insulted, I think. But
no,
okay,
no. I always
get when a lady says that to you.
I trust you, but, you know, I like to know what's coming. Anyway, I am podcast host and owner and creator of Me and the Magic, helping people travel solo to Disney and all around the world. So you can find me at podcast player of your choice and meandthemagic.com.
Sean?
Well, I am now, but mostly Disney. So we can talk about anything you want, but mostly Disney. And I think everything, but maybe my YouTube channel has branded over to that. But if you Google either at UTater, which was my former name that didn't make a lot of sense to folks, to now, but mostly Disney, I think you can find me there. And a lot of times I'm just hanging around in Lou's clubhouse. So
Yeah. And I will link to all of these in the show notes over at WDWradio.com. And I will share this when I post this on social. Amanda and Tater, thank you guys so much. We need to do this again. We need to get together and explore some of these things and work through our in and out differences over food somewhere in Walt Disney World.
Well, I like that idea.
You guys a message. Yeah. I'll be like, Boathouse, are we in? That's a silly one because I know you'll both say yes, but right. We'll figure out some place to go.
Satouli Canteen Breakfast, Luke. That's the answer.
I know, I got to try that. Oh,
I'll make a deal with you, Amanda. You pick me up and drive and I will buy.
Done and done.
I'm still trying to get over the fact of some of your answers. It's fine. It doesn't matter. It's good. We're still friends.
Chimichangas. Come on. I will send my Dole Whip army for you.
Oh, please. I will. I would say I would beat you with that chimichanga, but I don't want to waste a good chimichanga.
Right. Well, that is true. Don't do that.
And I hear the breakfast chimichanga, people line up like they rope drop the breakfast chimichanga, of which I have not been able to experience yet.
Wow.
I'm very excited now for our ABD to Disneyland next year.
West Coast does not mess around with the food.
By the way, do you know why the churros are better? It's the water and the humidity, without a doubt. Yeah, I agree 1,000% with you.
Yeah, our churros on the East Coast are not amazing. Yeah.
The only place I've had really good ones is Mexico Pavilion, the quick service there on the water. They're like the smaller bite-sized ones with little caramel dipping sauce.
I thought you was going to say Mexico. The only time I ever had really good churros was in Mexico. Wow, this woman likes her churros a lot. It's time for our Walt Disney World Trivia Question of the Week, where I invite you to test your knowledge of Walt Disney World's history or see how well you pay attention to the details in what you see, hear, remember, maybe even tasted. If you think you know the answer, you can enter for a chance to win a Disney Prize package. And this week's trivia contest is once again sponsored by the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Food and Wine Classic, my favorite food event of the year, happening Friday and Saturday, November 15th and 16th. It is bigger and better than ever as they celebrate their 15th anniversary with more than 45 different delicious dishes, 170 drink options, interactive seminars, live entertainment, and special 15th anniversary deals, including 15% off if you attend both nights. It is a perfect event for foodies, wine enthusiasts, or if you're just looking for a fun night out under the stars on the causeway in between the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin. Again, it is my favorite can't-miss foodie event of the year. I'm going to be there on Saturday night. I'd love to see you there. It is an event you don't want to miss. It is an elevated experience all around, from the quality of the food, celebrity chefs, unique entertainment. And oh, by the way, did I mention it's one price for unlimited food and beverage. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss the Food and Wine Classic. Get your tickets today over at foodandwineclassic.com and come join me for what I promise is going to be an incredible night at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin. Now, before we get to this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Question of the Week, let's go back, review last week's, and select our winner. So last week we were talking about cruises, and I love the grand atriums of each of the cruise line ships and that moment when you first step on board. And each one is unique in theme and decor. And every Disney Cruise Line ship also has a statue in the atrium or the grand hall celebrating a Disney character. And your question last week was to tell me the name of each of the ships and the character statues in the grand atriums or grand hall. And thank you once again to so many of you entered, got this one correct, and knew that the answers were the Disney Magic, which has Mickey Mouse as a classic ship's captain. The Disney Wonder is Ariel from Little Mermaid. The Disney Dream is Admiral Donald Duck. Disney Fantasy is Mademoiselle Minnie Mouse in her elegant sort of 1920s inspired ball gown. The Disney Wish has Cinderella in her iconic gown, plus Lucifer the cat. And as always, I took all the correct entries, randomly selected one, and last week you were playing for the WW Radio keychain, stickers, pin, and a mystery item that I brought back from our cruise on the Disney Magic. And last week's winner, randomly selected, is Jason Mitchell. So Jason, congratulations. I'll get your prize package out to you right away. And if you played last week and didn't win, that's okay, because here's your next chance to enter in this week's Walt Disney World Trivia Challenge. So here in the United States, the presidential election is this week. So that's going to bring me over to Liberty Square and the Hall of Presidents. Originally an e-ticket attraction, and e-tickets were reserved for the most popular attractions in the parks, the Hall of Presidents was actually a concept not originally planned for Walt Disney World, but Disneyland, but under a different name. So tell me, what was the original name of this planned attraction in Disneyland that Walt himself wanted for the unbuilt Liberty Street off Main Street, USA? What was the original name for the Hall of Presidents when it was being conceived for Disneyland? You have until Sunday, November 10th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern to go to www.radio.com, click on this week's podcast, use the form there. Once again, you're going to play for the keychain, the stickers, the pin, and a brand new item, literally sort of hot off the press, WDW Radio vinyl stickers that you can use for your laptop or your water bottle. So good luck and have fun. Huge thanks once again to you for taking the time to tune in this and every week. None of this happens without your friendship and love and support. And for that, I am sincerely and incredibly grateful. And just because it is the end of the episode, it does not mean that it is the end of the fun. Come be part of the community and conversation over in the WW Radio Clubhouse at wwradio.com/clubhouse. I'll post all of these in or out questions there so you can comment, or if you want to be heard on the air, you can call the voicemail at 407-900-9391. That's 407-900-WW1, and let me know which you are in or out on or why. Please also connect and follow along with me on social. I am at Lou Mangiello on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Visit the events page over at wwradio.com, because as much as I love connecting with you online, nothing beats a handshake and hug. You can find out about our next meet of the month in Walt Disney World, Adventures by Disney to Japan, Disneyland, and Southern California, and our Adventures by Disney River Cruise on the Seine, all in 2025. We also still have space available for our cruise on the Disney Treasure in February and our cruise on the Disney Destiny in 2026, as well as other special events like our recent Tip Top Club 2 event. Thank you to everybody who joined us for an amazing, memorable night. And again, the best way to make sure you keep updated on what is happening and what is coming is with my free weekly email newsletter. There are no algorithms. There's nothing to check. It's delivered to your inbox every Wednesday. You can subscribe for free by going to wwradio.com/subscribe. Thanks as always to my partners and friends over at mousefantravel.com. No matter where you want to go, they have been and will continue to be my trusted and recommended partner for more than 17 years. They handle the planning so you can focus on the memories and the fun and the food. They offer completely free vacation planning services, and most importantly, it is the incredible level of personal service, time, and attention that they give each and every one of their clients. Again, you can visit them over at mousefantravel.com. And as always, my friend, and you are my friend, whether we have met yet or not, all I ask is that if you like the show, please help spread the word. Leave a rating review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Please share the show. Take a screenshot of this episode. Share it on social. Tag me. I will reshare it and follow you back, of course.
And of course, if there's any way that I can help you, please visit loumangiello.com. You can also see what else I'm working on there, including free resources to help you pursue your passion and do the thing that you love each and every day, much like the gift that you have given me to allow me to share my love of Disney with you. And please always remember, be kind to one another, choose the good, have a great day, and an even better tomorrow. I love and appreciate you. So until next time, see ya.
Hey, Lou, it's the Ganley family. We had the most wonderful time on our Halloween on the High Seas cruise with WDW Radio and MEI Mouse Scan Travel last week. We just can't say enough about how this elevates our experience. It's already so wonderful to be taking a Disney vacation, especially a cruise on Disney Cruise Line, and then to have all of the added benefits and built-in friendships on board already by traveling with your group just exponentially raises the excitement and the memories of these types of vacations. We had such a fabulous time. A true highlight for us, obviously, was the Halloween costumes. We loved getting into character with our Gravity Falls crew. We also loved the people all around the ship who didn't really know what we were, but then loved it when we got to our WDW Radio meetup. Most everybody knew who we were, so that was really special. Thank you so much for helping our family create magical memories with your crew and with Becky's team. We absolutely just love sharing our vacation time with you all and consider you guys an extension of our family. It was just such a great experience. Thanks a million.
Hi, everybody. It's Elizabeth from Massachusetts. Just listened to the most recent episode about the scariest, the animated scary scene, sorry. And I cannot agree more. It was the last one you mentioned, but for me as a child, the Snow White, just so many things about Snow White are terrifying. It always have been. And I don't even think I finished that movie until I was like older because I got so scared from it. Anyway, hope everyone's doing well. Fellow Run Disney people out there, hope half marathon training is going well. I'm really excited to be running that this year, again. And just thinking of you guys, it's getting chillier up here in Massachusetts. So, the training gets a little bit harder when your fingers and or ears sometimes want to fall off and you're just a whip like me. Anyway, hope everyone has a great day. Talk to you real soon. Bye.
Hey, Lou. It's Christine Morrison from Flowertown, PA. I just listened to your favorite spaces on the Disney Cruise Line while I'm cleaning out my garage on this blustery Saturday morning in Pennsylvania. And I've only been on the Dream and the Fantasy. The Magic and the Fantasy. I was actually on the Magic with you guys. And my favorite spaces, my absolute number one is the Cove Cafe. Went there every day and I just love the decor on both shifts. I like all the Walt references. I like watching the cold brew drip station. It's mesmerizing. My second favorite would be the Skyline Lounge. Loved it in there, and it was not ever super crowded, but loved the vibe. Go in there and get a cocktail before dinner. It was fantastic. And then my third would be the pub on the Fantasy, which I can't remember the name of it, but I just loved all the decor and the woods, and it was just very inviting and fun, and I loved it. And those are my favorite spaces. Everyone have a great day. Make somebody smile. Hope your Saturday is starting out great. Have a good weekend.